shot! Oh, baby, what a play!
This is Jeff Fedotin with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network. The only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs and current ESPN announcer Joe Valerio and I break down the Chiefs' win against the New York Jets and preview Sunday's game against the Vikings. Joe, I teased this on the intro. Tell listeners about that ESPN announcing gig over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, Jeff. It was great. I was asked to join for the home Penn football games this year, be the color analyst for ESPN Plus, which is great. It's a super honor, and it was a privilege to do it. I'm excited about it. We have four, including the Dartmouth game last week, we have four home games that I'll be covering, and the other home game, Penn has five home games. The other home game is on ESPNU. They have a different crew for that. So what a great treat, and it was so good to be in the booth and offer up color commentary, you know, to our play-by-play guy, Joe Torti, who is fantastic. What a pro. So well prepared and knows the team so well. He's been doing it for quite a while, and it was great to be paired with him. We had a great sideline reporter, and it was just it was a lot of fun. They do a nice job with the production value of it, you know, for a lot of it's mostly college kids, you know, that are doing a lot of right. The production stuff, and it's all local to the Philadelphia area and or Penn students that get involved, and they do a great job. We replay, we had stats. I mean, it was really fun. It felt really good to do it and be back in the booth.
I mean, ESPN Plus, that's big time. When's the next home game, Joe, that you're doing?
Yeah, so Penn hosts Georgetown this Saturday, October 7th at 1 p.m. And they're hosting Georgetown's coming up from D.C. A special story there. One of the defensive coaches was, I still want to call him a kid, but he was a young man that I coached when I was in high school. When I was coaching high school football, and he was the captain of the team in 2007, went to the state championship. He was was a captain at Ursinus. He was three-time All-League, three-year starter, just a fantastic kid. He's been going through the coaching circuit, so he's going to be there, which will be great. And, you know, the Dartmouth-Penn game was a lot of fun because my daughter went to Dartmouth. So, you know, I know so much about both programs, which was a lot of fun, and that made it great. And there was also some very touching moments. You know, Buddy Tevens passed away.
That's right. Right.
Dartmouth, pioneer of the game. Recently, Jerry Burnt passed away, who was a foundational coach at Penn, helped build the program in the 80s back to the success that they are today. So, yeah, there was a lot going on. Gentlemen who actually – you know, Jeff, I got this gig tragically, actually. The gentleman I'm filling in huge shoes to fill, he was a fantastic guy. His name was Coffee Jones. He played in the Arena League. Mm-hmm. Coffee was the color commentator. He passed away suddenly this year. So we did a tribute to him during the game. And, you know, it's one of those bittersweet things, right, that I get an opportunity to do this, you know, but Coffee had passed away, and what a wonderful, warm human being. He was a great analyst, and you know, big shoes to fill, figuratively and literally. And I'm honored to have sat in the booth for him.
Well, yeah, such a cool gig. So check it out, fans. Definitely against the Georgetown Penn game this weekend, 1 p.m. Eastern. Joe, is that
1 p.m. Eastern?
Cool. Well, you know, between having Vahe on last week and starting with this, we are Believe in Chiefs. We haven't switched to Believe in Quakers. So shifting gears to the Chiefs. Joe, the game against the Jets, to me, that just shows how the margin for error for the Chiefs with Mahomes and Reed, like, it just so wide. You know, you just have to – teams have to play their A game, really, to get them. I mean, the margin for error is so large, the Chiefs can – they can have two interceptions, they can have a safety, and still win. And Joe, speaking of the safety, I feel every week we're talking about Juwan Taylor, but that face mask penalty in the end zone, which resulted in a safety, I thought that totally changed the momentum of the game. I thought the Chiefs were going to roll. They were up 17-0, and that gave the Jets a little bit of a spark.
Yeah, Joe.
What's your weekly? Maybe we're believing Juwan Taylor. What's
oh my God, Jeff?
on his play of that safety there.
We might need to change the name. I still believe. I still B-L-E-A-V in Juwan Taylor. I still believe. Look, he's struggling right now. You know, I mean, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, right? I mean, and that's coming from one fool to another fool, right? The fraternal order of offensive linemen. You know, I feel for him right now. He's struggling. He can't seem to get into a rhythm. The media pressure probably isn't helping.
Right.
You know, it's just like one of those things. If in these four games, what could go wrong for Juwan Taylor is going wrong. Now, on the positive side, on the bright side, he corrected the offside stuff, right? And the illegal formation stuff. So we're plugging the different holes here that are happening for Juwan, and he got that out of his system. And I think we said that, right? I think on the last pod, we said that, you know, we felt like Andy Squared, Andy Heck, Andy Reid, were going to overcompensate, have him bump his sort of alignment up a little bit and just kind of solve that problem. And he did. You hope that it didn't create some of these issues with him getting short cornered and having to hold on the face mask and, you know, and for the safety and things like that. So I just hope solving one problem isn't leading to another problem and creating more issues. So I think it's just going to take time. I know people are ready to, you know, call it quits with Juwan. I'm not. I'm a believer. He's an athlete. He's going to figure it out. Patrick's a good enough quarterback to make things happen. And I think, you know, I think he's going to be just fine. I'm sticking to my guns on this one.
You know, and on the telecast, they did a good job showing how it looked like he really didn't twist the guy's face mask. You know, it looked like maybe it wasn't a safety from the face mask rule, that like he was not yet in the end zone. But when Andy Reid was asked about it, he's like, he said more. He's like, you know what? He was holding him too, and which would be a safety. So, I mean, it was maybe a questionable call, but the fact that Andy Reid says that, Joe, do you have a take on that safety, whether, you know, you agree that was the right call, whether the face mask, the holding?
I mean, do I want to, you know, do I want to not for it not to have been? I mean, at that point, Jeff, it really doesn't matter, right? You shouldn't, mm-hmm. You can't get yourself in those situations.
Right. Right.
It's a bang bang play down on the goal line. It's happened. You know, you can slow that stuff down to, you know, to frames that are so slow motion, but like in real time, I'm going to give the official, actually, believe it or not, I'm defending an official, right? Defending the Zebras here, but I'm going to give the official like the benefit of the doubt that he's, you know, because they're watching, you know, they're watching the play. They're watching the upper part of the body. Like, it's hard for them to see where people's feet are. I mean, obviously, you know, if you ever wanted to go back and review it, maybe if that were like a reviewable type play, they could go back and say, well, his feet were here. But, you know, that's not something they're going to review. It's not like a catch or anything that you're going to go back and review. So it's bang, bang. I mean, yeah, I mean, you get called for a holding that close to the goal line and you continue to hold him while he's in the end zone and you have your hands on his face mask while he's in the end zone. I mean, yeah, they're going to call that. I have no beef with it being called a safety. I mean, you know, they're trying to protect the quarterbacks and do all that stuff and create that kind of, that's the kind of penalty you want to call so that the next time somebody's down there, they're not just going to tackle somebody, you know, if they have a free shot at the quarterback. So they're going to try to protect the quarterback with it. So, yeah, I have no problem with it. It was bang, bang. And, you know, it was call a safety. It was fine.
Well, football is back, and Bet Online is your number one information source for all your sports wagering info with all the up-to-the-minute stats, news, scores, and matchup breakdowns. Get the latest game odds, spreads, and totals from the NFL and college football at your fingertips with Bet Online's real-time updates on statistics, news, and odds. From week one all the way to the college football playoff and Super Bowl, Bet Online gives you access to the best football promotions and contests available anywhere online. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Remember to use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. Joe, before we move on to the Vikings game, any other remaining thoughts here on Chiefs Jets?
Yeah, do you think Bet Online had any kind of a any kind of odds on whether Justin Watson would be beating Travis Kelce in receiving yards after four games. I mean, that's – God love him, man. Justin's getting it done. Now, he only had 5 yards in the Jets game. That shows you how good he played in the first three games, right? That he's still the Chiefs' leading receiver after only having that one reception in the Jets game. So, you know, Justin's really proving himself to be, you know, pretty steady Eddie back there for the Chiefs. And, you know, and Patrick, he spread it around. You know, it was just one of those games, right? I mean, just things, just the ball was bouncing in funny ways. I mean, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about Isaiah Pacheco, Jeff. I mean, the guy, come on, he was a stud.
He was the difference in the game. Like, you know, he was like really just that was him. He was the stud. He gets the game ball, no question about that.
Yeah, 158 yards in the air and on the ground. You know, he had a nice few receptions, nice long averages. You know, that big run he had with Trey Smith out in front of him. I know everybody was talking about that when Trey Smith is, he's a man among boys. That was an incredible block on that play. And, I think Isaiah is the real deal. And I think he pretty much put any doubt behind that he is not the go-to back now for the Kansas City Chiefs. Because that's a good defense. I mean, that's a really, really good defense. So
it's a good defense with a big physical front, you know, guys like Quinnen Williams in there. Really impressive. And I feel when the Chiefs need, like, I mean, he's good for a lot of reasons, but when they need a jolt, like, this reminded me of the second half of the Super Bowl, the trailing by 10 points, they needed something, and they went right to Pacheco, and he had a big gain. And he's kind of their guy when things are going south, when they're a little sluggish. That's who they hit now. And Joe, you mentioned Justin Watson. I have a stat for you. So Patrick Mahomes is third in the NFL in rushing among quarterbacks, which is crazy. Like, he's an athletic dude, but the fact that he has more than guys like Sean Watson and Jalen Hurst and guys like that is really crazy. And Patrick Mahomes has more rushing yards than every wide receiver on the Chiefs team has receiving yards, except for Justin Watson. Now I'm excluding the other guy. Travis Kelce does have more receiving yards than Mahomes has rushing yards, but, you know, tight end. But I mean, that tells you, like, Justin Watson is really tells you something about Mahomes and also about Justin Watson and the rest of receivers.
Yeah, stats can definitely tell a story. And I think, you know, what Patrick is doing right now is he's basically finding a way to win, right? And that's what you want out of a star quarterback like that. When things aren't going well for him, you know, he doesn't lose his confidence. He doesn't get shaken. He keeps the team up. He keeps everybody motivated. You always feel like he can win a game. Because guess who's not? Joe Burrow right now, right?
Yeah. I mean,
he's just, you know, I'm not trying to be critical or create any, any more animosity between Bengals fans and Chiefs fans. It's already out there. But, you know, he's not getting it done. And whether he's banged up or nicked or whatever, I mean, Patrick's had his share of, you know, nicks this season. So I got to say, he's playing at a super high level, you know, in the things that he needs to play well in. Yeah, did he struggle with his arm a little bit? Yeah, I mean, sure, we can be critical of that. But they found a way to win. They came out of New York with the W. A lot of distractions, right? Got all the Taylor Swift stuff. Got everything that's going on. In it's New York. You're in the East Coast. The Jets have had a lot of controversy. You know, it's a tough place to go in and play. You know, you're flying east. You know, because you're losing an hour of sleep, but like all those little factors that go into what it takes to play in a game like that. You're playing at night, your body clocks off a little bit, and the Chiefs found a way to get it done. So, you know, look, this team's only going to get better. You know, as you get Juwan, you know, really playing to where he needs to be. You know, we get back Amenihu. Right. Going to have him back soon. That's going to change. That's going to change things a lot. Not take anything away from Mike Dan is having a good year. Get Nick Bolton back. Get this defense cranking at the right time when we need him. So nobody should be pushing the panic button at this point. We've got a decent part of the schedule coming up. And, you know, the Vikings are the Vikings. So we should probably talk a little bit about them since it's their next game. And, you know, haven't really seen what we thought we'd see out of a team that went to the NFC Championship or the NFC Divisional game last year.
I thought they were a little bit right. They definitely struggling this year, 1-3 versus last year when they had such a strong year. I thought last year they were a little bit of a paper lion, paper tiger. Joe, I'm too sleep deprived. What's the correct?
a little paper tiger.
Paper tiger. You're just saying that because you think the prison tigers are paper tigers. But anyhow, like I thought last year they were a little bit like smoke and mirrors. You know that they won all these close games. They weren't as good as their record is, and now they're. I don't think they're as bad right now as their record is, but I still don't. I don't think they're going to be a match for the Chiefs. And Joe, before we get to this current matchup, the Vikings now, this Vikings team is an offensive team, but they used to be known for the defensive line. They had the Purple People Eaters who faced the Chiefs in Super Bowl IV. They had John Randall, Keith Millard, Henry Thomas during your era, and then the Williams Wall of the 2000s. But talk about your experience going against some of those great defenders that I mentioned.
Oh, man, we had some run-ins with the Vikings, Jeff. I'll tell you, we used to go every year at training camp. We would go to Mankato, and we would practice against the Vikings. And, you know, Coach Schottenheimer loved that kind of stuff, right? He loved going on the road, getting us, like, used to traveling, being a little tired, and, you know, having to play at a high level against new competition, right? We've talked about this term before, right? No brother-in-law going on when you're going against the Vikings. You can't tell Keith Millard or Chris Dolman or John Randall that your shoulders hurt, so take it easy on me the way that I could do with Dan Salamua or Joe Phillips or Derek Thomas, right? And some practices were just basically all out brawls. They were slugfests. And John Tierney, like their defensive line coach, loved to get under player skin on the other side of the ball. He loved the trash talk right along with the players. And Chris Dolman and John Randall were two of the best trash talkers in the world. But, you know, both of them backed it up. And they had motors that it was nonstop. Like, they would tire you out just with their talking, let alone the physicality. Like, you would just be mentally exhausted from all the jibber-jabber that was going on during practice. And, you know, after a while, you know, we had all-out brawls. I mean, coaches, I remember at one point the coaches were getting into it. What happened on one time, we were doing field goal and extra point, and we only had on these things called shells, which were basically, they looked a little like lacrosse pads.
Right.
They were these thin foam shoulder pads that we would wear on shorts and helmet days just to protect your shoulders from nicks from a helmet, you know, or a face mask. And, you know, Coach Schottenheimer was like, all right, we're going to go no contact extra point field goal. So I go, I'm snapping the ball, and I think it was at that point it was Brian Barker and maybe Nick were the battery, and I'm, you know, we're working the extra points, and I'm snapping, and for whatever reason, Coach Chernick told this guy David Dixon, who was like this 360-pound offensive guard. He was the one on the nose, on the snapper as the nose guard that would plow in, because back then, you know, you were allowed to hit the center. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no protecting the center like there is today. Like, in college, you can't even line up over the center. Mm-hmm. But then you could just I would just get completely waylaid on extra points and punts. Mm-hmm. All I heard was, okay, guys, no contact, extra point. Just go through your first step. Well, not for Coach Tiernick and David Dixon. I snapped the ball, and David Dixon literally picked me up. And he hit me so hard, I flew in the air, and I blocked the kick, Nick Lowry's extra point attempt, with my butt. So, all-out brawl. Like, everybody's grabbing each other. And, you know, of course, you're like numbskulls. We're hitting each other with helmets on, and we're all swinging at each other, which is crazy. But we had an all-out brawl during the special teams period. And we weren't even in pads. It was crazy. We used to have such a, you know, one time, Jeff, we were at training camp, and Keith Millard, you know, I probably shouldn't, you know, six stories, you know, maybe these are for a book or something, but, you know, we were, Keith Millard had driven his car into the drive-through of a McDonald's, and he left it there because he was going to be late. He got into an accident, and his car hit the curb and popped up and went, like, hit the drive-through of the McDonald's, the local drive-through.
Wow, so when you into a drive-through, you really mean into like a drive-through.
Literally drive-through. And he literally left his car there and ran because he couldn't wait for a tow truck because he would have been late for curfew. So he ran back to the dorms where they were staying in Mankato, and he Mankato, Minnesota, and he at their training facility, and he ran back, and so he wasn't going to be late for curfew. So yeah, there was this, it was one story after another with those guys, and I'll never forget Chris Dolman playing on Sunday Night Football. He beat me for 2 sacks in a series, and I was a rookie, right? So what did I know? And you know, I was just happy to be out there. And Coach Mudd was just like, look, if you're not letting up sacks, it means you're not playing. Just get over it, right? But what happened on the first sack is Chris Dolman, you know, beats me for the sack, and he gets around, and he's like, hey, Joe, he goes, you went to Penn, right? Penn Quakers, because he's from York, Pennsylvania. So he went to Penn.
Okay.
He's from the area. He goes, because I bet after all your friends back at Penn saw that sack, they're probably saying you went to Penn State. So I was so angry, and he got me out of my game, and I was so wound up on the next play that I let another sack go because I tried to just kill him, and he beats me for a sack. He like Olays me, you know, like a bullfighter, and he goes around and he sacks Steve DeBerg, and I'm just like, oh man, like what just happened, right? And he goes, well, Joe, he goes, your parents have cable? So, you know, because the game was on ESPN. It was a Sunday night ESPN game. And it was just like, oh, I didn't know what to do with myself. I was so beside myself. But that's who they were. That's the team they were. They were great guys. You know, God rest his soul. Chris passed away way too young.
Hall of Famer. Great player.
Yeah, you get to know them both, John Randall and Keith Millard, of course, and John Randall. And they were incredible human beings. It was all the hype. It was all the game. Definitely a great rivalry, but a lot of fun with those guys. But man, could they trash talk?
And where did Chris Dolman knew exactly what he was doing? He did his research. Where did Chris Dolman go to high school? He went to William Penn High in York, Pennsylvania.
Went to William Penn,
and then to Pitt. So he knew his Pennsylvania. He knew how to get under the skin of a fellow Pennsylvanian. We're going to take a brief break here, and then we'll move on to the current Vikings. Joe, you know, for me, the thing that stands out for this, you know, I don't think it's necessarily going to be a walk in the park. I don't think it's going to be like Chiefs-Bears, because I think the Vikings have some weapons. I'd be shocked if it's super close, very shocked if the Vikings win it. But, like, the guy we have to talk about is Justin Jefferson. Like, I think he's the guy, and it might be fun that sometimes he lines up in the slot. That's where Trent McDuffie plays a lot. He plays a kind of a slot corner, and he's been terrific this year. He has 2 fumbles, one of the leaders in tackles. He's grading out on all the football analytics sites. He's grading out as one of the best, if not the best, cornerbacks. So that if there's a matchup to watch, that's what I'm looking at. Justin Jefferson, how he does, and if we get to see Trent McDuffie against him. How about you, Joe?
Yeah, Jeff, I really agree with you. That's a great one. I'll have to agree. I mean, yeah, Justin Jefferson's got half the yards that the entire Chiefs receiving core has at this point.
Wow.
Right? He's got 543 yards to the Chiefs' entire receiving yards are 1,037. So he's got more than half of the Chiefs' receiving yards, and he's got almost 2 to 3 times what, you know, Justin Watson and Travis Kelce each have individually. So yeah, he's having a great first 4 games. And, you know, Kirk Cousins is fantastic. Look, I mean,
he's had a good year. He's taking a lot of heat. They're saying now they might not re-sign him, but like their problems are not really Kirk Cousins related. He's playing some good football.
Yeah, they're just making a lot of mistakes. They're not putting players in the right position to be successful the way that, you know, somebody like an Andy Reid does with, you know, sometimes with injuries or limited talent. He's just, you know, Andy just knows how to get the best out of people. What I'm excited about is of course, I'm excited to see what goes on with this offensive line again. Like, mm-hmm. I can't help myself, you know, when I think about, you know, what's it going to be like for, you know, for Juwan? And I think, you know, Donovan's been pretty quiet other than that crazy non-holding call that everybody, you know, was going wild about on the internet, which to me was not a holding call. Listen, when you get your hands inside, I think a lot of linemen who like to tweet, you know, kind of were defending Donovan on that play, on that long Patrick Mahomes run, the conversion. You know, he had his hands inside. And once you lock on inside, Jeff, that's your, it's fair game, right? Like it's, if you, as long as your hands are inside, nobody's ever going to get called for holding on that. So, you know, I think people should really relax about that non-call. Cause I mean, I'm not even being a Chiefs homer. I'm just speaking completely objectively, and I'm not being an offensive line homer either. I'm just, I know that that is not something they're going to call. He did not, we used to call it, you know, lobster arm or crab arm, like where you get your hands outside on somebody's shoulder pads. When your hands are inside, if it's fair game, especially if you can get something as tight as the jerseys are today, that, you know, if you can get some cloth, then, you know, they're not going to call that for grabbing. So, yeah, but I just want to see what happens up front. I this offensive line, we talked a lot about it. We're coming into the fifth game now. If Donovan and Juwan, you know, don't start getting it together as tackles with this interior three that we think could be, you know, if not the best, but three of the best interior guys in the entire NFL, then, you know, we got to start thinking about what's going to be the Chiefs' next move, or, you know, or is there one, right? I mean, I don't know how much, you know, Prince is on IR. You know, we got a lot of untested guys, you know, Wanya Morris, Lucas Niang still hasn't really pulled it together yet to see where he's going to end up, where his career is going to go. So we're all in on these two tackles, and plus the purse strings too. I think we dumped a lot of money into these two guys. So that's really not going to be something that's going to make people happy if, you know, you bench Juwan Taylor, who's, you know, scheduled to make, you know, $80 million over a 4-year deal, I believe. Right. So it's, we got to go with it. And I'm just anxious to see how that plays out.
And this is probably maybe a good game for them to get right. You know, the Vikings, really their struggles. They have a couple struggles. One, the running game offensively, but their offense is really scary. We mentioned Jefferson. You know, they also have K.J. Osborne, is a really good receiver. The rookie Jordan Addison, who was at USC, catching passes from Caleb Williams last year, is really good. And then they have T.J. Hockenson, one of the better tight ends in the game. So a lot of passing targets. It's really good. The running game, which seems to have gotten on track a little bit as their offensive line has gotten healthier, but their defense is 20th in the league, and it's their pass defense that's 21st in the league. So, you know, maybe this is an opportunity for those tackles to, you know, the pass rush hasn't been great for the Vikings. Maybe this is, you know, when they can get a little more comfortable, get maybe not have any of those sloppy errors. Joe, any other, how, what's your score prediction and any other kind of takes for this matchup on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, just to backtrack a little bit, you know, I got my little notepad here. I've been keeping all of my scores because I tend to like have a short memory about some of my scores. But you know, I had the Jets and Chiefs at 24-3. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was the same exact thing that happened with the Jags, right? And it was the same thing that happened with the Lions. I was like, I was so close to certain things. And then all of a sudden it just takes like one play. Like when the Chiefs were up 17-0, I'm thinking I might actually get this one on the nose. Like when it was 17-0, I'm thinking, all right, the Jets get a field goal, right? Cause they were really struggling at the beginning. Right. And I'm thinking, all right, yeah, the Jets probably will get a field goal, and the Chiefs, all they got to do is score one more. I'm like 24-3. I'm actually going to nail this one to the point. Mm-hmm. Like I thought I had it. And then, you know, of course, then there's the safety and the field goal, and it's like, oh, it's 17-5. And it's like, wow, you know, now what? And then they started rolling. So anyway, I got it wrong there, but I'm going to keep plowing along. I'm going to keep plowing along, and I'm going to keep, you know, thinking about the Vikings. I'm going to keep thinking about the Chiefs and where they are. And I'm thinking, I'm going to take your advice on the offense, and I'm going to say the Chiefs are going to score 28 in this game, and the Vikings are going to score 28-13. But it's not going to be like 28-13 where, you know, the Chiefs score late. Like, it's going to be, the Chiefs are going to own this game. I really do feel that. I'm not just, again, using that term again, being a homer, but I think, and I'm writing that down so that I keep it, I'm going to say 28-13.
I think that's official now. He's writing it down. For those people can't see the video, Joe is writing it down in magic marker so that, like,
yes,
this is official. It's not pencil, can't be erased. Joe, I have a similar prediction. I'm going to go 30-17 Chiefs. I think they cover the BetOnline spread is 5. I think they cover that. And again, like, I think it will be like, you know, I don't think that they're going to blow them out. They're on the road. The Vikings have weapons, but I don't think it's going to be a close game. And, you know, it's interesting. You're talking about the score and how it fluctuated. It looked like last week the Chiefs were going to blow out the Jets so early, and then who could have seen the ebbs and flows? The Chiefs, sometimes if they have a week, sometimes they get cooking real early. Some years it's really been that second quarter, but a lot of times, whether it's the first quarter or the second quarter, they get like cooking. And then, as this Don Drysdale book I'm editing, it described a sign about Walter Johnson that he would, Walter Johnson, the from long, long ago, that one of the greatest pitchers ever, that he would be cruising, and then he'd kind of start playing with his food. You know, he'd get kind of more. The Chiefs kind of do that a little bit. That's like, I think the Chiefs are actually sometimes tougher. You know, if you're the Bears and you're just getting waxed, they're so non-competitive, they can't come back. But sometimes when the Chiefs get out to a lead, they're actually a little bit more vulnerable. They start kind of, you know, they're so tough. They're almost tougher when they come from behind than when they're up.
No, I totally agree with you, Jeff. That's very insightful. That's great insight. And I think, you know, the thing with the Chiefs is, you know, we always talk about this, right? More often than not, they seem to be a second and third quarter team, right? Mm-hmm. And you're right. Jumping out to that lead 17-0, because I watched the Eagles game, you know, before that, right? So it was a nice, you know, football weekend for me. I got, you know, 3 very, very good games. I mean, I got, you know, the Dartmouth Penn game that I got a chance to do the color for was went to overtime. And the Quakers scored with basically almost no time left. And then, you know, then I got to watch that Eagles game, which, wow, what a game that was. If anybody tuned in or watched any of the highlights, I mean, but when I was watching that first quarter of the Chiefs, I turned to my wife, Jen, and we both said it at the same time. We're like, this Chiefs team just looks so much better than the Eagles right now. The Chiefs just look so much better.
They looked amazing that when they got out to that 17-0
lead. It was almost like we jinxed them because we're after that, you know, after, you know, things started going wrong and the safety, and then next thing you know, it's like the Chiefs are fighting for their life. And I'm like, wow, like maybe it's all the same for every team in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. That it's a struggle to get through, and September's over. That's it. We're putting that behind us. It's like the Marty Schottenheimer 12 o'clock rule, right? 12 o'clock the next day when the game's over. You forget about it. Good, bad, and different. 12 o'clock rule. So now we're going to call it the October rule.
I thought about that too. I was, when they were just cooking, getting out to that 17-0 league, I'm like, all right. You know, what happened, September is a new preseason, and they got the rust out, and now they're cooking. And, of course, they then were scuffling from that out. But, yeah, that occurred to me as well. Well, if you enjoyed this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Go Chiefs!